Okay, hi, I'm James.
Hi, James.
All right, yeah, cool. So, for those of you who know me here, I'm, I guess you kind of know me as the 3D printing guy, but that's not where I started. And today I want to talk about my theme, since it's the Lonely Hearts, is creativity is love and love is creativity, both unique and diverse. So, as my ethics professor used to say, you have to identify your terms before you can discuss them. So, I think we take love, if you ask, say, 1,000 or 100 or 100,000 people what love is, you're probably going to get a pretty diverse range of meanings. But everybody kind of understands the basic premise of love, right? Everybody in the room's been in love. Show of hands if you've been in love before. Yeah, okay, good. So it's a really diverse thing. Everybody has like a unique experience with it. And what I want to talk about today is creativity and how that is also in some way kind of in tandem with love. And so I kind of want to talk about my journey of getting. Oh yeah, okay. My journey of getting from where I started with creativity to where I am now. And so, for the sake of that, let's say we'll start with some basic terms in relationship to love. I'm just going to read this off. So, creativity is, many people identify creativity as art. You know, like making music, or, you know, the classical sense, creative writing, something like that. But I would also say that creativity is curiosity or openness, or, because we're a hackerspace, also open source. But I think it also has to do with problem solving, sort of what we think of now in like IT or in computer things of thinking outside of the box, or creative engineering to get to a solution. Like if you're limited, okay, I don't have access to this chip, but yeah, I probably could use this other thing to make it work. But also, I think creativity has to do with making, since we're also a makerspace, and community and individuality. So, my idea is to talk about my journey with creativity and how I started and how I had some like paradigm shifting projects. I'd have a couple of them. Some of them were stuff that my dad sold or threw in the trash when I was younger or whatever. I'll kind of hit on those definitions and talk about the paradigm shifting project or point for me of creativity. So I think for me, creativity started when I was about 8 or 9. I wanted to get out of my class. I didn't want to sit with my annoying teacher. So they were doing a play, and I started doing music and theater. And I liked it. My teachers liked what I did. My parents liked that I was being creative, because I was born in Puerto Rico and lived in about 9 different countries. So I was moving around, and in the 70s, being a nomadic kid was kind of a unique thing. I think a lot of kids who are growing up now are living in a world where it's the globalization of things and the internet, you're connected much more easily. But for me, it was throughout all of these changes, there was always that thing of being creative. I had music, and I had drawing, and I had sculpting and painting and whatever else my parents thought, oh, that's a good one, we'll put that, him in that too. So that for me is the art part of creativity. And I basically started that and went through my school time. I was doing somewhere between 3 and 5 hours of creative work every day in school. And then at about the age of, I don't know, I was about 11 or 12. Leading up to that, I was always curious about things like electronics and things. So my father had like power tools, and you know, it wasn't using this feature in the power tool. So I took it apart to see how it worked. And since he wasn't using the reverse function on the drill, I took the part out because I wanted to make something, and yeah, made an interesting childhood. But at one point he decided, all right, we're going to migrate. He loved technology. We're going to migrate all of our audio to cassette. And he had a couple of old reel-to-reel machines. Everybody knows what a reel-to-reel machine is? All right, okay, there's no millennials that get confused. All right. But I started learning about tape bouncing and flange and delay and fading by doing long razor cuts and taping tape together. And that, for me, that being curious and exploring was a new avenue of creativity, and it gave me a new paradigm of how I could approach being creative. And so through my school time and then into college, I went into audio production when I first couple of years of school. And the one of the programs was synthesis. And so we had a synthesizer lab. It was the old Moog synthesizers that were built for RCA. I don't know if anybody... Moog built a series of synthesizers that was specifically for RCA, and they were branded by RCA. They were Moogs. And learned about, this is a VCO, this is a LFO, this is an oscillator. Oh, this is cool. And I thought I had a deal where, okay, cool, I could take one of these at the end of the school year because they were going to sell them. And I went on vacation, came back, and they got rid of them. And it was pretty heartbreaking. But I discovered this something that I'll talk about in a few minutes. At this point, I just kind of was disillusioned with school. I left school, got a job, had a girlfriend, and life sort of happened. I was making music still and doing some creative things, but you know, you come home after 8 hours of work, and you don't want to like build things or work on stuff. So I started not having enough time. But in the late, mid-90s, I discovered this Common Sound Collective. It was a forum online that people were, what actually became 3M Pedals. And they were releasing all of their designs for synthesizers or things like, this is my first thing. This is I actually did it on Vero board. I changed and reconfigured it so it worked with Vero board. It's I call it the detonator. It's you probably know what it is. It's a pedal. Yeah. But through looking at this this forum and going through, I discovered that, you know, I really wanted to have like a Moog or an ARP or something, but these were kind of out of my price range at the time. So I discovered, okay, there's this open source and they're releasing all these things. And they were like, yeah, okay, here's the schematic. But this was before JLC PCB and you couldn't order, you know, here's my thing. I'd send it to China and in 2 weeks I have for $2, I have a PCB board. So, but they released the schematic for the PCB, and so I said, okay, fine. I befriended an old guy at an electronic shop, and I brought in my BOM and said, and the schematic, and said, I need these parts. And what the hell are you building? Oh, I see. Okay. well, you know, this is going to be a linear. I don't have any 10K, but if I give you a linear 50K, this should do. And if you, I got some old resist, I think I got something. You're not really worried about this? Yeah, all right, this should work as long as you're grounded, okay? So, I lived in an apartment. I didn't have access to being able to sit with chemicals and etch my own boards. So I took a piece of cardboard and I taped glued the 3M glue. Yeah. And then I wired it all. If you are curious, if you do a Google search for the TriWave Picanator, this is the version one. It worked until uh, 13 years ago. I played a show in Milan, and there was a drunk guy who came up to my table after the show and wanted to talk to me, and he was... That's why I brought the extra beer. He was, hey, that's a nice synth you got there. And then he proceeded to pour it all over the synth and basically destroy it. So I kind of keep this to remind myself of that. But that led me to this idea of taking the art aspect and the curiosity, but also the open source and aspect of creativity. And so at that point, let's see, where am I? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got it. So then I found, problem solved. I found all of the parts. I put that together. That got killed. Then I ended up having kids. So at that point, I couldn't really go on tour anymore. I started building synthesizers and for people, like in commission, or if you've ever seen the Pia Theremin kit, I used to build those for people. The nice thing about it is it has CV outputs for the pitch, velocity, and one other I can't remember. But if you're around on Mondays, I'll bring that on one of the Mondays, one version of that. But I managed to get a hold of the guy who did the original design on the TriWave Picanator, and he had one more PCB. And so I built that. And being creative, I thought, yeah, I could just epoxy the front. I have kids and they kicked it, so it didn't really work. But this is the TriWave Picanator. It's two oscillators, three levels of filters. It has this one has a ring modulator. It has an auxiliary input, tone, high. And it does have a modulation, so you have like you have a LED, and you can switch the modulation and the speed. And it has a cutoff, so it's really cool. And last year, I got really some weird things happened in my life, and I started to realize most of the stuff I was doing. I started building 3D printers and stuff, but I was doing them all at home. And I didn't have a sense of community. And I was at Maker's Faire last year, and I met Dave for the first time. He was at the stand next to me. And about a year ago, I came to the old version of Xhane, and I started realizing, hey, there's this big collective of people who are doing open source things and creating and are passionate about things and are sharing. And that was something that I noticed that was really missing. And so when Dave and I were talking about, oh yeah, it'd be cool if we had some more community around here. And I mentioned that there was the Xhane, and then through our communication, oh yeah, I'm at Xhane. Oh, I'm gonna be soon too. And then I came here, and I'm kind of the 3D printing, but not 3D printing guy. But that leads me to the final point, which is, basically, that I think creativity and love are very, very similar. They're, for each person, it's an individual thing. And it's a unique thing for each person. So I think it's something we have to give ourselves the freedom to understand the uniqueness of it, and the space of the curiosity. And I think, like love, it's diverse and vague, and for each person it also has this uniqueness, and I think it's just something we deserve to allow it to manifest in our lives, however we however that does for you. So yeah, that's my thing. And so the final thing, I do 3D print. I did build the 3D printer, and this is one of the recent projects I did. So yeah, that's 3D printed, and it's the Mandalorian.
So you're putting like other gear too for a whole body, or what's it called?
Maybe.
Can you repeat the question?
The question was, am I building the rest of the costume? And I do have the plans, both in PDFs as cardboard or as 3D models. This is the way, right. Questions? Really quick? Any questions? Yeah?
Yeah. I'd love to hear more about how you understand creativity. I mean, on the one hand, creativity is a very subjective notion. You know, people think of creativity as acquiring, producing something of value. You know, not just novelty. Like, randomly spout numbers no one's ever heard before. It's not creative. Like, there has to be something valuable to think about.
Yeah.
But that seems a very subjective quality of creative expression.
Mm-hmm.
Is there such a thing as creativity, or is there just different reactions to new ideas or new decision-making procedures? I mean, is AlphaGo move 37 creative? This move against Lisa Dahl, when it just completely blew everyone's minds with this new Go strategy?
Yeah.
Is that creative?
Well, I think there's, like anything, there's that moment of... Okay, so there was an old friend, she was a sculptor, that who was the mother of my kindergarten friend. And her and I had a discussion over about 15 years of the creativity is knowing your medium well enough that it doesn't get in the way of conveying the construct you want to share with somebody else. I think that was, for me, that was a really powerful place to come to. And I think that's what creativity really comes down to. It's understanding your medium, and then at some point, like Dada, getting up, doing it, and getting the ego, the excuse me for anybody who's sensitive, but getting the fuck out of the way. Because until you can do that, there, you know, there's the leaps of faith or the leaps of creativity or the aha moments are very rare. So we could continue it maybe after. I'm going to be around. I'm happy to discuss with Morris, but I'll make space for the next guy or girl. If I can get all my stuff here. Thank you.